This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you.
We've been on this series, and we've really been taking a deeper look at the journey of the wise men, what they were going through, what their process was, what their insights were. And I think it's important to draw more than just a traditional story, but what is there that's fresh? What revelation does God have for us as we look at the story and the journey of the wise men? So that's what this series has been all about. So let's go to Matthew chapter 2 together, and let's look at the journey of the wise men. And Matthew 2 says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. And about that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we've come to worship him. And King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. I think one key component that we can see in the journey that the wise men took was they were determined. When they showed up, you know, they've been traveling for a while. It's not a short trip. You know, some theologians say it was a couple of years to get to Jesus. Other people, it's at least a few months to get to Jesus. So they've been on this journey for a while at this point. And then they arrive at Jerusalem. They're still not there at Jesus, but they're following the clues. And so it's a story of determination because they actually don't go directly to Herod. They start asking a simple question. Where is the newborn king of the Jews? And so they're going from person to person. They're in the marketplace. They're asking people. Maybe they're going to different people's homes. They're following up on clues. This person, maybe that person knows. They're going from person to person. What do you know about the newborn king that is to be born? Do you know how many people you would have to ask in a city before you draw the attention of the mayor or the governor? And in this instance, the king. So they're in the capital city. There's a lot of people there, and they're asking person after person after person, you know. And I really see, you know, the whole city was troubled. How was the whole city troubled? Well, they had all heard of the fact that somebody was in town asking, where is the newborn king? Why was this troubling? Because they already had a king. And so they're asking this question. They're determined. What's the takeaway that we can see? These wise men were determined. When God gives you something, don't be so easy to let go of it. Don't turn that loose. When God gives you a dream, when God gives you a purpose, when God gives you a vision, don't just lay that down the first time somebody tells you no. Somebody tells you, oh, I don't know anything about that. I don't have the answer. Maybe a door gets slammed in your face. What can we learn from the journey of the wise men? They were determined. They didn't just ask one person. They didn't just ask two people. They didn't just give up after 15 tries. They asked as many people as it took to get the answer that they needed to go where they needed to go. So one question that we can reflect back on our life is, am I asking the right questions? Am I determined in my pursuit of what God has given me to do? God has given us all gifts. God has given us all dreams. God has given us all purpose. But are we determined enough to walk it out? These wise men were walking out their purpose. They were determined with it. So don't give up. Be determined. Stay on the assignment that God has given you. Be like the wise men. They were hot on the trail. They were in hot pursuit. They were looking for any clues, any indicators, any person that would know information on where they were trying to go. Go person to person if you have to find what you're looking for, because I guarantee you, somebody is going to be a door opener for you. Somebody's going to have the answer. Somebody's going to be able to give you a hand up. And so they continue. The difference between people that accomplish purpose and those that don't, oftentimes, is determination. Everybody has capacity. Everybody has potential. Miles Monroe said it this way, one of the richest places that you can ever go to is the cemetery because of all the unfulfilled dreams, all the unfulfilled capacity. So what is the difference between somebody that accomplishes what God has given them and God has graced them with and God has blessed them with and somebody that doesn't? We can look outside the church and we can even look inside the church. There's Christians that are not even walking at full capacity. They're not walking in all that God has given them ability to do because they weren't determined. There's a difference between people that walk in the fullness and the blessing that God has for them and those that don't. And many times the determination is the difference. The wise men didn't stop until they got an answer. Somewhere in Jerusalem was the clue that would lead them to Jesus. Somewhere in the middle of this huge city teeming with people was somebody that had the clue that would get them to Bethlehem. Can I tell you the reflection of that in our story? There's somewhere in your regular life, there's somewhere in the regularity or in the challenge or in the stretching of where you are right now that's a clue to where God wants to take you. Somewhere in the disappointments, somewhere in the average day-to-day life that you're going through is the clue, is the bread trail to get you where God wants to take you. Because the truth is, God created you for more. Look at somebody and tell them, God created you for more. See, far too often, we're not realizing all that God has purposed us for. But these wise men were determined. You need determination to reach your destination. So they ask so many people in the city, do you know what happens when a small group of people spread the word about something to a large group of people? Do you know what that's called? What we call that? Going viral. This is one of the first instances in the Bible. Okay, it's right. It's a long time ago, right? They kept on asking this question until it went viral in the city and it drew the attention of the king. And now the city's disturbed by this question. The king is distressed by this question. And Herod, this presents a problem for him because he is the king. Or so he thinks. And so he calls for a private meeting because he needs to shut this thing down. He needs to slow this situation down. He needs to kill this message. Here's an interesting thing about King Herod. Really interesting. He used politics to get his power, and he took the title of king. That wasn't given to him. He took that title. When they gave him a command over that region, that's the title he assigned himself. So Herod, he was a king, but not a true king. There's a difference between having true authority and just playing a part. You know, it's different when, you know, you see somebody, you meet something, and you know God has graced them to do a certain thing. It's like when they lay their hands to that, you're like, man, that person knows what they're doing. It's like that person, when they do business, they're like, man, that person was anointed to do business. Or this person was gifted to do that. Or when this person really, you can really sense that they're caring. That they have a grace, they have an anointing for that. And so Herod, he assigns himself this title. All of Herod's life, he wanted power. He postured, he lied, he aligned. But he never really had true authority. And then one day, he hears of somebody that was born king. He didn't have to work for it. He didn't have to try to do it. He didn't have to prove it to anybody. He was born that way. That's what the scripture said. Jesus was born king. The wise men said, we're looking for the king, the newborn king. He was just born that way. He didn't get it through politicking. He didn't get it through stepping on other people. He didn't get it by aligning himself with power. He was born with authority. There's a difference between an authority and the authority. You see, there's some people that have authority and others that want you to believe that they have authority. See, King Herod, he put the robe on. He gave orders. He bossed people around. He stepped on people. But he wasn't a true king. God has given you a purpose, but the enemy is going to try to take your position. See, when Jesus showed up, Herod was already on the throne. It's not going to be easy to do what God has called you to do. It's not going to be easy to reach your destiny. But if God has given it for you, the enemy is going to try to be in your seat. Look at somebody and say, you got to unseat the enemy. When you show up to your promised land, guess what? Somebody's going to be occupying your promised land. The devil's not just going to turn over your destiny to you. That promise, the blessing that God has for you, you're going to have to fight for it. We got a lot of family here today. Guess what? God has a plan. God has a promise. God has a blessing for your family. But you're going to have to fight for your family. The enemy isn't just going to leave your family alone. You're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to fight for the destiny that God has over your life. And the destiny that God has for your marriage. And the destiny that God has for your family. You have to unseat the enemy. You can't be thrown off by the fact the enemy is calling what belongs to you his. If Jesus shows up and there's someone else calling himself king. And he wasn't in a hurry to let go of the authority. He actually called the meeting, the private meeting with the wise men, not because he wanted more information so that he could go and honor the king, so he could go and kill the king. Right? Jesus born king, but someone else was sitting on the throne. You've got a destiny in your life, but there's some things you're going to have to unseat. There's some things you're going to have to fight for. God has a purpose for your life. But believe you me, the enemy is going to try to sit in your seat and he's not going to want to move. Revelations 1:6 says, and he has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. When we came to Christ, all those that are believers and you're born again, guess what? When you came to Christ, he gave you a new identity. And that identity included the fact that you are now a king and a priest. So if you're a king and a priest, then you have a place, you have a seat of authority. Correct? If I'm a king and I'm a priest, if you're a king and you're a priest, then you have a place of authority. You have a position of power. It's the enemy, though, that wants to sit, oftentimes is sitting on your throne. There's an assignment for your life, but the enemy wants to block what God is doing in your life. And sometimes we refer to the wise men as kings. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far. And they might not have technically been kings or literally been kings. And there was probably actually more than three. But the fact that they were following after God and they were blessed by God, I think that's pretty kingly, right? When God's blessing is on you and you're following after him and you're walking in his purpose, you are a true king. But there's a difference when God calls you something and when you try to make yourself something. And that's the real difference is, you know, these men, God called them. God called them to be a part of this special night, this special moment in Bethlehem. But King Herod, he tried to make himself something that he wasn't. I think in life sometimes we try so hard to make ourselves something. When God says, I can make you even more. I can make you even greater. I have a greater authority. I have a greater blessing. I have a greater power that I want to give to you freely. But we're oftentimes just grabbing, just holding on to, just doing everything that we can to hold on to what we got and try to add to it. That's King Herod. He's just holding on for dear life to all the power that he does have, killing anybody that might be a threat to him. He killed family, right? Killed a wife, killed two of his sons to try to protect his power. Didn't just kill kids in Bethlehem. When we don't have a redeemed mind, when we're not seeing things the way that God wants us to see it, we're always in this power struggle. We're fighting, we're grasping for power, grasping for money, grasping for this, grasping, trying to climb up a ladder, whatever that ladder is. When God is saying, look, I have a greater blessing, I have greater open doors. If you'll submit what you're doing to me, I can give you true authority. And so we see that Herod tries to make himself king. And in the natural, he succeeded to an extent, but he was never a true king in a spiritual sense. And some in the natural thought of him as Herod the Great. But in the spirit and in ways that counted most, he was not a true king. But these three kings, they had wisdom, they had spiritual insight, they had a heart to worship God. And when they entered the presence of Jesus, they bowed down. They bowed down. As dignified, as influential as they were in their home country, as wealthy as these men were, because they had treasure, they had treasure boxes that they're coming and presenting, as educated as they were, they bowed down in the presence of Jesus. What does that tell us today? You can never have true authority until you're willing to submit. These wise men, when they arrived at their destination and they came into the presence of the King of Kings, they submitted all that they were and all that they had to him. These men, as much as they in the natural were blessed and they were educated and they were respected men in their home country, they said, I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to submit because I know there's something even greater than what I have. There's something even greater than natural money, education. There's something even greater than being distinguished and respected among peers. And they said, let me bow down, let me submit to the true king. And so these three kings bowed down. What was the key difference between King Herod and the three kings? Who they bowed down to? You see, everybody's going to bow down to something or someone. You can't say, oh, I'm not bowing down to anybody. King Herod, he went to Rome and he bowed down to Mark Anthony. At that time, Rome was separated into East and West, and you had Mark Anthony and you had Octavian. And he aligned himself with Mark Anthony, and he had power because in the natural because he submitted to Mark Anthony. But these three kings, they recognized true authority. And when you recognize God's authority, he gives you an authority of your own. You see, all authority, that's what the Bible says, respect those that are in authority and in government and those that, because all authority actually comes from God. All true authority comes from God. And so these men actually, they submitted their life, and what they got in return was they got true authority. They had some authority before in the natural. They had some respect before, but they received true authority. There's no true authority outside of him. No true authority outside of him. And when we give up our pride and we give up our ideas and set them before the true authority, God gives us what he has in return. When I give control over, I have the option. I could do that my way if I wanted to. I could control my, I can make the decisions in my life. Or I could give control over to God. I could submit my decisions to Him, and He could make me something more. He can make me something greater. King Herod had a natural authority because he submitted to Mark Antony. But how many know that Mark Antony was defeated by Octavian? And then he had to go back to Rome and he had to submit to Octavian if he wanted to keep his authority. But I have some good news for you today. When you submit to the King of Kings, He's never overthrown. There's never any changes of power. He's never voted out. He's never been defeated. He is the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. He is the Master and Creator. Everything was created by Him and through Him, and without Him, nothing was created. When we submit to the King of Kings, we're placing our life on the rock, a rock that never changes, because the problem with King Herod was, first there was Mark Antony, but after that there's Octavian, and there's always somebody else. There's somebody after Octavian. There's somebody after that person. And it says in the Bible, kingdoms will rise and kingdoms will fall. And we can look in the history books and we see that it's true that this one comes to power and then this one's out of power and another one's in power. But when we base our life, when we submit our lives to the King of Kings, there's such a strength, such a blessing, such an authority, such a favor that surpasses anything that the natural can do. The Roman Empire, known as one of the greatest empires. Do you know what happened through the simple son of a carpenter? Son of God, who's born king in the spirit, in the natural though, regular person, as regular as me and you. In the course of 100 years, the national religion of the Roman Empire was Christianity. That is the power of true authority. No Colosseum, no oppression, no persecution could stomp out true authority. And when God puts His favor on your life, doors will open. When God puts His blessing on your life, there's nobody that can take away what God is giving you if you submit your life to Him. The greatest decision that we can ever make is to submit our lives to the King. Sometimes we think that we're submitting, but then the Holy Spirit taps us on the shoulder and says, "But what about that area? You gave me all of this, but what about that? What about that over there in the back corner? You giving me all this, but what about your dating life? Can we get real? You gave me all this, but what about your business?" You see, when we are willing to submit everything, it's not that I can't control my life. I know how to do things. But what God has is so much greater. And you know what? After a while, my way fails. After a while, your way is going to fail. It might work for a little while. But when we submit to the King, He gives us true authority. Will you bow your heads with me? God, I thank You, Lord. Just like the wise men went on a journey 2,000 years ago, we're going on a journey. Father, You know where we are in our lives. You know what our challenges are, what our weak areas are, what our failures are. And God, Your desire is to bless us. You sent us Jesus not because Your heart was to condemn us, but Your heart was to save us and to redeem us and to make us right. And that even though we might have messed up 1,000 times, if we turn and say, "Jesus, I need You. Jesus, I want to submit my life to You," everything changes. He washes every sin away. The power of his cross is more powerful than any sin that you've ever committed. And when we turn to him and we say, Jesus, I know you're the king, but I want you to be my king. Everything changes. God, touch our journey. Bless our journey. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I know I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. I'm on a journey, but I just know I'm not there yet. But I want to be. I want to submit my life. I want to submit what I'm doing to him. I want to give him control. If that's you, you say, I want to give my life to Jesus. Just slip up your hand. Amen. Amen. If that's you, just slip up your hand. The greatest decision that we can make is to say, yes, Jesus, I need you. I tried to figure it out on my own. But Jesus, I need you. I know I've done some good decisions. I've done some bad decisions, but I know I need you. That's you. Slip up your hand. I want to pray with you today. Amen. Amen. If you slipped your hand up, pray this prayer with me. Everybody else, you can pray this prayer in agreement with me. Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for trying to do it my way. I'm sorry for the times I've failed. I'm sorry for my shortcomings. I'm sorry for my sins. Jesus, forgive me with the power of your cross. Give me a new slate today. Teach me how to walk with you. Take me on a journey to discover your very best for my life. Jesus, I give you control. Jesus, I submit to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God the praise today.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.